Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Acts 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The numbers of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
Thanks, Rebecca. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Please have that Bible reading open in front of you, and let me pray before we come to God's word. Father God, please speak to us now and help us to understand your word, and may we open our eyes and ears, and Father, may our hearts be responsive to your leading. And we ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. We hear a lot about healthiness, don't we? We hear a lot about healthy bodies, healthy eating, healthy marriages, healthy relationships, healthy economy, healthy immigration policies. I read an article recently about 9 things that we should look for at a healthy workplace. What a healthy workplace look like. It starts with walking meetings, standing workstations, plants in the office, start a breakfast club, sponsored gym memberships, integrated exercise equipment in the office, fitness competitions, start a walking club, and the final one is midday office naps. I don't know how your workplace kind of fit in with this, but I kind of get to do that sometimes. I have walking meetings and walking preparation times as I do. But this morning we're going to look at healthy churches. Healthy churches. What does a healthy church look like? I guess we could quote all the values that we have been looking at as markers of a healthy church, isn't it? A healthy church is a church who worships God, where the Bible is their authority, Jesus is their Lord. They serve one another, they love one another. The prayer life is central to their life. They share the good news with outsiders. It has godly gifted leaders, and godly living is normal for its members. If you're thinking where I got all those from, it's in that values card that you would have received in a couple of weeks ago. These are good benchmarks if you want to evaluate the health of a church, isn't it? And we spent last 7 weeks unpacking the first 7 values, and today we come to the 8th value, which talks about essential component of a healthy church is godly and gifted leadership. It is important that a church has godly leaders, not just gifted leaders, but godly leaders. And it is significant that we appoint godly, gifted leaders to serve us. And to help us this morning, we are going to look at Acts chapter 6, the first 7 verses. And these 7 verses kind of break into a very easy 3 sections. Verses 1 to 2 talks about a problem. Verses 3 to 6 talks about a solution. And verse 7 says, what was the outcome? You can follow that outline in your outline that you would have received. The problem. Luke begins by telling us that in those days, in verse 1 of chapter 6. What are those days? What is he talking about? If you glance back through the first few chapters of the book of Acts, we find he's talking about the early days of the church, the infant church, after Jesus has ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit has come, and the church has begun. And God has been doing amazing through the apostles to authenticate their message. People are being healed. There are signs and wonders performed by the apostles. And the apostles are powerfully preaching the gospel. And the church has been growing. The first sermon, imagine, 3,000 people converted. And by Acts chapter 4, the number had grown to 5,000 and growing rapidly. And they have become a very close-knit community, a caring community. They sell their properties and they bring their money to the church and they share with one another. A great season, isn't it, for the church? The word is spreading and the church is growing, and that's the theme of the book of Acts. But as the church grows, we see the enemy of God, the enemy of the church, is getting very uneasy. And he's pulling out all his tricks to stop the church from growing. So what does he do? He tries to stop the word from spreading. So in Acts chapter 4, we find the Jewish leaders, when they find the apostles preaching the gospel, they bring them in, they arrest them, and they threaten them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And towards the end of chapter 5, the apostles are arrested again because they performed a miracle. And they are persecuted and flogged and warned not to spread the name of Jesus. But what do we find at the end of chapter 5? If you read the last verse of chapter 5, it says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, the apostles never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And it says the church was growing. And it is in these days of persecution and growth, Luke writes in Acts chapter 6 verse 1, there is another attack by the enemy to stop the word from spreading. The Grecian Jews were grumbling, complaining about the Hebraic Jews because their widows have been overlooked in their daily distribution of food. And as the church grows, all sorts of people are joining the church, including widows. And the church wants to look after this group of people. And for some reason, they fell off the cracks. They're not cared for. So the fractions begin to appear. Dissatisfaction is growing. The expectations are not met. In other words, although the church is growing in number, it is showing signs of sickness, isn't it? Instead of using its energy, the resources, the time to spread the word, now they have to worry about sorting internal issues. Instead of the word of God, what is spreading is the grumblings of people. But there's another problem, isn't it? The apostle seems to be the target of this complaint. They want to be doing this wonderful ministry of caring for widows. They want to follow the Old Testament pattern of caring for the widows. They want to follow the footsteps of Jesus, who always looked after those who are marginalized. But they are struggling to juggle all these responsibilities. So in verses 2 and 3 of Acts chapter 6, we find that they're trying to do something good. But in doing this something good, the apostles are neglecting what they are called to do: prayer and word ministry. You see, instead of preaching the good news, they have to spend time in conflict resolution, putting out spot fires. Instead of reading their Bibles, they are reading management reports or meeting minutes and preparing ministry budgets. And their prayer times have become planning meetings. They want to make sure that everyone is looked after. But sadly, they're not looking after their own health. And this is flowing into the church, isn't it? So we have this vicious cycle. Unhealthy leaders create unhealthy churches, and unhealthy churches create unhealthy leaders. And it is threatening to destroy the church. It's threatening to stop the word from spreading. And sadly, that's the goal of the enemy, isn't it? And sadly, a lot of churches have fallen into this trap. And in verses 2 to 6, we find the solution of the apostles. By God's amazing grace, the apostles recognize this problem and they deal with it immediately, don't they? What do? First, they call a congregational meeting. The leaders don't make decisions on their own behind a closed door. No, they get the congregation involved. All the confessing, baptized believers, disciples are part of this meeting. And I guess that is where our concept of church meetings come from. Here they recognize the congregation's responsibility for the health of the church. And then they identify the problem. The apostles admit, we need help. Although these are good ministries, friends, they admit we are not gifted in serving at tables. We are messy. They don't say, well, we can't do it, so let's stop the caring for widows department. No, they say, it is important. We need help. They also admit that they have neglected their own health, their own job, by putting their finger into all the pieces of the pie. So then in verse 3, do you see what they do? So they get the congregation involved in making sure that their church and their leaders are healthy. They say, brothers, choose 7 men from among you. Don't go and put a notice in the bulletin or in the notice board, say, okay, if you want to lead, apply within. No, you go and search. You go and prayerfully observe people amongst you. And when you do, this is what you should look for. Look for people who are full of Holy Spirit. People who are led by the Spirit, not necessarily those who are speaking in tongues, but people who have the fruit of the Spirit. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, people who have the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. People who have spiritual gifts, as we saw in Romans chapter 12 a few weeks ago. Look for them. And the second thing to look for is people who have wisdom. It is more than the ability to do the right thing or say the right word at the right time. The biblical wisdom goes beyond knowledge, isn't it? According to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear here is the reverential, respectful fear which comes from knowing God. Knowing God's righteousness, knowing His holiness, knowing His power, knowing His goodness, knowing His commandments, knowing that He is judge. In other words, when you are looking for those who have full of wisdom, they are to look for those who know God. Those whose actions, words stem from their knowledge of God. Those who have a passion for God. Those who love God. Those who love God's word. So don't choose someone who don't know God. Don't choose someone who don't have a relationship with God through Jesus, through having faith in Jesus. But ask the question, do they know God? Do they fear God? Do they listen to the Spirit's leading? Do they read their Bibles? Do they pray? Are they faithful? In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, Paul fleshes out this a bit more. You see, the apostles were serious about these roles in the church. They may look like waiting on tables or serving food or cleaning gardens, but any service done in the church is a spiritual service. Whatever it is, it could be preaching, teaching, singing, sound and vision, or gardening, doing slides, serving morning teas. It's done in the name of Jesus, for the people of God, for the glory of God. So they wanted to make sure that those who are appointed to carry out these ministries do it with the leading of the Holy Spirit, with the wisdom that comes from knowing God. And by doing this, verse 4, you will be allowing your leaders to do their job well. They can give the full attention to prayer and word ministry. And in verse 5, we see this with this beautiful picture, isn't it? The proposal pleased the whole congregation. They were all in agreement. They were of the same mind. Here, the church, the congregation, takes responsibility for the health of the church and their leaders. So they approach seven men who fit the criteria. Verse 5. We don't know how they did that, but the seven men chosen are all non-Jewish Christians. If you notice, they represent the group who were mistreated in verse 1. In choosing these leaders, they don't see non-Jewish Christians as second-class disciples. And that's what's great about the gospel, isn't it? There's no discrimination between the Jew or the Gentile, male or female, free or slave. And in verse 6, if you see, the apostles show how significant these ministry roles are. So they pray for them, they lay their hands on them. It gives us an important principle, isn't it? As a church, we need to pray for our leaders. It was good to hear Rebecca including the leaders this morning in her pastoral prayer, encouraging you to pray during the week for our leaders. And verse 7, you see the outcome, don't we? So the word of God spread. Did you hear that? The word of God spread. What is missing? What is not spreading? The grumbling, the complaints, the bickering. Because at the beginning of the chapter, that was what threatened to spread. But what spreads now is the word of God. The good news of Jesus is unhindered. And Luke says, as a result of the word spreading, the number of disciples in Jerusalem grew rapidly. And he adds at the end of verse 7, almost as a side note, a large number of priests, these Jewish priests who had committed their lives to serve in the Jewish temple, they have got converted. Big things are happening, right? When the word of God is spreading. And that's what happens when the word of God goes out, friends. It does not come out without bearing any fruit. People hear the word of God, they hear the gospel of Jesus, and they are converted and they are added to the church. At the beginning of the chapter, the threat was an unhealthy church growing. But what we see here is a healthy church growing, isn't it? And it also implies that the apostles were healthy. They now have the time and space to do what they should be doing, prayer and the word ministry. And God is doing what is best that He is capable of doing, bringing people into His kingdom. So what can we learn from these seven verses? I picked up five things, and I'm sure there are more things that you can pick up. First, we learn that as the church grows, Satan is actively involved in undermining the primary work of the church. What is the primary work of the church? To be witnesses of Jesus. And sadly, as I said earlier, many churches have been victims of Satan's schemes, and we need to be aware of it and stand against his schemes, and so that the word of God is preached unhindered. And we also learn that the good health of the church is not just the responsibility of the pastors or the leadership team. It is the responsibility of the whole congregation. And we learn that the members of the congregation have the God-given mandate to seek and appoint godly, spiritual, wise people to serve us in the church. And this passage also teaches me and us that pastors will be unhealthy when they neglect the word of God and prayer. Prayer and the word ministry is their primary ministry. And we learn that the church grows when the word ministry is unhindered. So how can we apply this to our church today? We are a growing church. We live in a growing suburb. Rebecca mentioned that it grows by the day. If you stand by the Burwood railway station, you will see how many people come with suitcases and bags. They're arriving and they're looking around, don't know where they have landed. Last Sunday, Kel preached the sermon, the importance of sharing the gift, sharing the good news. And I'm sure you're going and doing that. On Friday, I asked Abbas, you know, the Iranian friend who is not here with us. And he says there's a group of Iranians who's looking for a church. And who wants to come to our church? If you come on a Wednesday or a Monday morning, Daniel is doing his English classes, and I can see that God is preparing a group of Chinese people to join the church. And we are constantly praying and asking God to grow our church, and I believe God is showing up and he's doing his wonderful work. And someone in my pastor's group made the comment that when we pray for growth, we are actually praying for more work. A growing congregation means, friends, we are asking for more work, more hospitality, more pastoral care, more discipleship, more admin work, more space, more cups of teas and biscuits during morning tea, more Bible studies, more follow-up. Need more finances, more worship services. And friends, if we are not ready for more work, then we better stop praying for growth. Because if we are not able to welcome and care for those who God is bringing to our midst, then we are going to let an unhealthy church grow. As a congregation, you and I have the responsibility for the good health of the church and its pastors, to make sure that we leave a healthy church for the next generations, to make sure that we leave healthy pastors to serve here and beyond. And no doubt you appreciate the current leadership team of the church. They are a willing, generous, capable, prayerful, spirit-led group of people, and I'm thankful for them, because without them there'll be a lot of things that'll get neglected. Because at Bible college, friends, I'll tell you, they don't teach secretarial work. They don't teach us how to do balance sheets or use MYOB. They don't teach us how to run business meetings or strategic development plans. They don't teach us how to prepare slides or sound, do sound and vision. And aren't you glad they are all happening in our small but capable leadership team's hands? But I'm aware that as they serve, they're stretched and we need help. We have a couple of vacancies on the admin team and an AGM is coming in a few weeks' time. And if you are concerned for the health of the church for now and the future, can I encourage you to seek and encourage a couple of godly, spirit-led people to be on the leadership team? People who would do the right thing, say the right thing, make the right decisions because they are led by the Spirit, because they fear God, because they love God. Would you take time to pray for such people and observe them, encourage them, and tell them that you would support them? Speak to me or one of the leaders if you are one of those people. And if you are concerned about the health of the church, can I encourage you to become a member of the church? If you have believed in Jesus and is baptized by full immersion, you can be a member. Speak to me or one of the elders if you like to become a member. That is a wonderful opportunity to contribute, to shape the future of the church. If you are concerned about the health of the church, and if you are a member, please don't skip members' meetings. They are wonderful opportunities to seek God's mind together as a congregation and set godly standards, godly values for us and the future generations. Don't ignore your responsibility. And if you are concerned for the health of the church, can I encourage you, use your gifts and abilities for the health of the church. You may not have a gift of leadership, but God has gifted you, each one of you, with a spiritual gift. And God brought you here that gift that you have is needed in this church, so that the church may be built up and it'll become healthy. And you also should be glad that you have two elders who care for your pastor. I sometimes get annoyed, but I'm thankful for Ray and Paul who are in the eldership team with me. Why am I annoyed and thankful at the same time? I like to juggle things. I like to have my fingers in every piece of the pie. And they constantly check and rebuke me for taking more than what I should be doing, because they care for my health. And the things that I try to do, they're good things. They're important things, but I'm aware that they take my time away from prayer and word ministry. And friends, as we take care of the church, the health of our church, the church can do what it's good at doing and what it should be doing, sharing the good news with people in our community and beyond. Because according to Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, the word of God is living and active, and it is the power of God for salvation, isn't it? Friends, we have a great message. And we have an enemy who's trying to stop that message from going further. And my prayer is that we will grow as a healthy church. We'll have healthy leaders, healthy pastors. And as we grow, that no obstacle inside or outside the church will hinder the word of God at our church. And that the same power that brought thousands of people to the church in the book of Acts. We'll do the same here in Burwood and around the world. So would you take responsibility for the health of your church? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for the church that you established. And we thank you that it is your body that exists here on this earth to proclaim Jesus to the world. And Father, we ask forgiveness for times that we haven't done that. We've so much been concerned about what's happening inside, and we've sometimes caused those things inside, that our energies, our finances, our time is spent on putting out spot fires. And we ask forgiveness for the times that we have not taken the responsibility of leading or using the gifts that you have given. Father, may we be a church that grows, but grow healthy. May we be a church that is served by godly, faithful leaders who are led by you. And Father, we thank you because you have already provided those leaders, and Father, you promise that you will be with us as we step forward. So guide us and lead us, Father, now and into the future. And Father, engage us, Father, with that glorious cause that you have in your heart, the good news of Jesus. And we do that with all our hearts and all our minds and with all our strength. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.